on this day, we're talking, what is it, the 13th of January. Matter of fact, 1 week from today, we'll be making history, not just reporting on history. Barack Obama, just about this time, will be heading over to prayer service, and then 2 hours from now, he will have been sworn in as the 44th president of the United States of America, and we'll be there here a week from today. Let me welcome in studio Robert Gatewood. And Gatewood has come up with a great book called Played in Full, not Pay in Full, but Played in Full. You can go to our website, joemadison.com, to the bookshelf, and I assume it's on the bookshelf, right? If no other book is on there, I know that one's going to be on there because Gatewood is the webmaster. When you see things on the website, or if you want something on that website, he's the guy that you go to. He's been working with my website for a number of years, and we get so many favorable comments about the website. It's changed as the years have gone by. The subtitle of the book, The Marketing Exploitation of Black America. So how are we being exploited as Black Americans in marketing, Robert?
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me on your show this morning. Joe, we always hear about the large amount of money that flows through the Black community. And one day I was driving down the street and I just was overcome by curiosity and say, why is it that we make all this money and yet it just seems to go out of the community? So I set out on a mission to figure it out. And so I jump in my car, I'm driving down the street, and I say, I'm going to figure out this financial conundrum once and for all. And you ever see these B-type movies where the guy's doing something dastardly, and he looks up, he sees a reflection in the mirror. And so as I'm doing this, I jump out of my luxury automobile, and I look in this reflection of myself, and I see Exhibit A, which is myself. I don't see just one me, I see three me's. I see a me that's one's the archetype of marketing, a business executive. I see a me that's the, not the Black African-American monolith, but I see me an individual. And thirdly, and this is the part that scared me, I saw me the consumer. And I saw me with a bullseye right on my forehead. And this what really got me to thinking. And Joe, I'm not a dumb guy. I've made straight A's in school. I've graduated college, magna cum laude, got an MBA degree. And I say to myself, if I'm a consumer and I'm having a hole in my wallet like a lot of other Black Americans, then it dawned on me that maybe this problem is bigger than just being smart or understanding basic finances. So I set upon to make my mission to figure out what is going on here. Everybody needs to do what they do to help further the cause of Black America. I happen to be a marketer, and marketing is a lot about psychology. And so this book is about getting myself and other like-minded people to do what they do in their area. You do what you do, Reverend Sharpton, Valentine, and the rest of them do what they do. I happen to be a marketer. And it's my mission, I hope to inspire other like-minded individuals to become wrong writers to help us close this seam in the wallet of Black America so that our kids will have a future.
So why, I mean, how is it that we're being exploited? In terms of the market, how are marketers exploiting Black people?
Think about it this way. We, through history, and it's a generational thing. It's not something that somebody just jumped up yesterday and said, let's go out and market Black people and take their money. Right. It actually dates back to slavery. Some of the same institutions making us good docile slaves and conditioning our psyche are still in place today. And those same practices have been perpetuated through generations of Jim Crow, slavery, discrimination, and so forth. It's a grip that goes beyond the surface. And it's about marketing. That's what it boils down to. One of the lasting vestiges of slavery has been our susceptibility to villainous marketing practices.
Really?
Absolutely.
I mean, so you're saying that the continuation of marketing. So marketing is about, and you're right, it's about maintaining a grip on your mind.
Marketing is all about the mind. Anybody who understands marketing knows that marketing is about psychology.
All right, hold on a second. We'll come by. We'll come back and find out how, again, this exploits us as a people. And how do we break that grip?
Absolutely.
Right after this with Robert Gatewood. It's a brand new book called Played in Full, The Marketing Exploitation of Black America.
The sun don't come out in rainy weather, but when you boil it down, they are still together. Now let's not overlook the fact that we're still in reach.
He will always be a slave who does not know how to live upon a little. Does that somehow talk about breaking the grip?
Well, Joe, you read a statement. People will always be a slave who does not know how to live upon a little. When you get down to it, Joe, and this may sound surprising to some, but most of us actually make enough money to do quite well if we just put it to better use. Unfortunately, most of us have also been trained to give our money to other people. And the people on the other side, which are the marketers, most cases the players, they've been trained to take your money.
Now, when you say we've been trained as black people to give our money to other people.
Absolutely.
They've been trained to take our money. Now, what do you mean we've been, how have we been trained to give our money to other people?
Joe,
give an example.
I couldn't pick a more unfair fight if I tried. It's like going fishing and having the fish just jump right in your boat. We've been trained through things such as, I'll give you an example, mental externalism and herd mentality.
What do you mean by that?
I saw with herd mentality. For instance, I used to smoke. I was a smoker, something that I'm not even proud of to admit, but I was a smoker at one time. The reason I stopped had nothing to do with my realization that it was unhealthy and it was charting my life. I realized one day that I had been marketed, really just downright played, because the marketers had me convinced through this thing called the desire to belong. It's also called social proof. They had me convinced that in order for me to fit in into the group and be accepted by others, that I had to smoke too.
Smoking was cool.
Smoking was cool. This is one of the most damaging and probably the most pervasive marketing tactics that are used in the black community. And it's not for something as visible as smoking. It's something like car ownership, the type of clothes you wear, the type of hair.
But doesn't this apply? Because I can listen to people now. I can almost hear their minds clicking. Many white people saying, well, that's not unique to black people. White folk have the same psychology is applied to white America.
The difference, Joe, however, is that white people were not subjected to slavery. The slavery created a fertile ground within the black community that's unique to other communities. We were conditioned, we were taught to really render our, not just our bodies and our souls, but also our minds. And this creates a fertile ground that makes our situation quite unique. And some of the institutions that were in place during slavery, doing that thing that were rendering us powerless to give up just about everything about us, our total selves, those institutions are still in place, and they're more covert now.
Give us an example.
Well, the financial institutions, we've never been into the mindset of saving our money. We were taught during slavery that we were to get ours in the afterlife. Now, in modern day black America, we're probably at the bottom end of the, if we take a bell curve, we're on the laggard side of the consumer adoption process when it comes to things such as saving and finances. Whereas on the other side, we're probably at the, what we call the innovator side on things that don't appreciate, things like fashion, things like clothing, things like automobiles. And when you look at this bell curve, and I give a good example in my book, you see that we're on the wrong side of the items that are going to have a positive impact on our financial future.
So you're saying in the book that we've been played like this, and it's been passed from generation to generation, and it's just now starting to curve upward and away from that. Or do you think the curve is still detrimental?
I think the curve has quite a bit to go. It's not just the institutions. The institutions, and this is where it really gets tricky, the institutions have actually trained our friends and family to do a better job than they actually are. And this is where that social proof comes in. the marketers are doing what they do. They use things such as targeting by profiling. They use things such as demographics, psychographics, biographics, and they use these things to target a certain demographic. For instance, if you go into a community and you see an abundance of liquor stores and payday loans, the marketers didn't just put those there by happenstance. They didn't just sit there and throw a dart. Mm-hmm. They found that there was a propensity of a certain demographic to patronize these type of shops. And the only way you can stop a proliferation of liquor stores and payday loans
is
to stop consuming their wares.
But then how do you do that? Lord knows I have talked here and tried to deal with the psychology of like, let's use liquor stores as an example. And we've talked about these payday loans almost to the point that your eyes start to glaze over. But still, they persist. So how do you, and in the book, do you talk about how to break that grip?
Joe, I talk about it in a section called The Answer Lies Within.
All right.
Let's look at it this way. People are going to do what they do. I'm not here to knock anybody or play a hate because a lot of these professions that we're talking about are actually legal. They're trying to make a living just like everybody else. They're trying to put food on their table.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're playing some of us in the process. But we can't focus our energies on them. We have to focus our energy inward, and we have to build our own inner strength so that we build a firewall to weed out. We have to realize that certain things are wants and that they are not needs.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to shun this social proof. And to do that, let me give you an example of how we shun social proof. Let's just say
Wait a minute, you're calling it social proof?
Social proof. This is another name for herd mentality.
Okay.
Also called the desire to belong.
All right.
And the book talks about this in length. If we want to start breaking this cycle, one thing we have to do is shun social proof. Well, let's give an example. Let's say that you're part of an organization, and everybody in that organization, every time you see them, they're talking about their fancy car. And here you are, you have a kid in school, you just lost your job, but every time you see this group, only thing they can talk about are these cars. Now, this builds inside of you something that's called a cognitive dissonance. It's an anxiety mechanism, and it causes you to lose sleep, it causes you to stress, you may even act out forms of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I say, if you find yourself in that situation, you have to differentiate yourself from the herd. Or a more simple term would be to separate. Just because that group may have the same color skin, you may have the same fraternity, you may have the same other things in common, there may be enough when it comes to your financial situation that you are not really a part of that group mentally or financially. You need to separate yourself from that group to relieve yourself of that type of anxiety. Everybody's good at something. These people may have a proclivity towards luxury automobiles or a different type of lifestyle. You need to do something else. Do something that more fits into your lifestyle and to your income. You may decide to do rollerblading. You may decide to
bicycling, whatever.
Fuel-efficient automobiles. Separate yourself from that group. That's one step to start freeing yourself mentally, because this is a mental battle. This battle is not fought on the Christmas Eve aisles of the stores. This is fought in your mind on a day-to-day basis. And you have the institutions of what I call the players coalescing on one side. Then we have the consumers on the other. And this battle is fought in your mind every day, day in and day out.
All right. Well, let's do this. We're out of time, but again, how can people get a copy of the book? What's the best way to get a copy of the book?
The best way to get a copy of the book is go to the website. It's simply Played in Full. Played, not paid. Played in Full.
And it's a paperback book. Easy to understand. I mean, it's a fast read. That's what I like about it. And it's not one of these reads where you got to go page to page.
Right.
You actually want to skip around.
That's exactly right.
Am I right?
That's exactly right.
And look at different chapters that might apply to you or your circumstances. So
Joe, I actually call it a handbook.
I guess that's the best way. It's a handbook.
That's exactly right.
All right. And the book, again, titled Played in Full, you can go to www.playedinfull.com. It's also on the bookshelf as a must-read on the Madison bookshelf. Robert Gatewood, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you, Joe.
I do appreciate it.